Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So, enjoy. Amen. Man, love the worship today. Worship team, way to bring it, man. Whew. I think I might have almost lost my voice there. Just that last one singing it. I hope you walk out of here with no voices today, because you've been singing, you've been praising, you've been rocking Jesus in the house. Are you here this morning, church?
Yeah.
Good job, because I'll tell you, this is my confession. This is my least favorite Sunday of the year. Is anybody with me? Anybody know where I'm going? Yeah. Time change Sunday. Dear Lord in heaven, the devil himself invented that. Yes, he did. Preacher. I hear that over here. It takes me 3 months to catch up 1 hour. I don't know why. I blame it on my kids. Anyway, but glad you're here. Glad you're here journeying with us this morning. In about 30 minutes, we'll have some more people show up who are clueless. We don't say anything. We'll just act like, you know, we're just like, oh yeah, we've been in this for a while. Jesus loves us more. Anyway, glad you're here. A lot of good stuff is happening and going on. Just two quick things, and then I will jump into our message this morning. First, Easter is coming. It is right around the corner, April 4th, which is about 3-4 weeks away. And we are doing baptisms. Our tradition around here during our Easter services is to do baptisms. So we'll be baptizing during those services. We already have 5 or 6 folks that are going to be baptized. If you want to be baptized, if this is something that you've been interested in, maybe Christ is just absolutely changed your heart and your life, and you haven't declared that you are a Christ follower, this is your moment. Maybe you've been away from Jesus for a really long time, and COVID has done a lot of things, including brought you back to just a connection with God, and you just want to get that sealed in your heart and your life, then let's do some baptism. So anyway, it is open for you. Text MyFCC at 94000. You'll get an option that says baptism. Hit that. It'll send you to an email, and you can let us know, and we'll get back to you this week and get you all set up. So baptisms for Easter, a big deal around here. Make sure you jump in and do that. Which brings me to the second thing. When we open the doors back up, we never stop doing church. You know, we're doing church outdoors for sure, and we're always online live streaming, but when we opened the doors back up, we weren't sure who would show up, you know, who's going to show up and who's going to be here. Well, you showed up, which is awesome, and so I think we're about full in this service. We can squeeze a few more in, so here's what we're going to do. Starting Palm Sunday, what we're going to do, March 28th, if I got that date in my head right, we're going to go to 3 services. So we're going to add an early service, then we're going to change our service times a little bit. So we'll have an 8:45 for you early birds that want to get here and do your church. So 8:45 and 10 o'clock will be the new indoor times. And so we'll do those services. We can spread out. We'll still do live stream on both those services. We'll still have overflow upstairs if you'd like to come in and hang out. And then at 11:15, we're going to push our outdoor service back just a little bit. At 11:15, we'll be doing outdoor service. Now, the 11:15 outdoor is when we have kids and children's ministry. So if you came this morning, maybe wondering, what do I do with my kid? Well, until we get enough volunteers, so I encourage you, be telling us if you're ready to volunteer and get back into children's ministry and student ministry. But until we get enough volunteers, we'll just do kids and children's at that 11:15. But hopefully, we'll be able to bring it back to these two services also. So, Palm Sunday, March 28th, 3 services, 8:45, 10, and 11, and indoor, outdoor, online, overflow, your choice. Just keep doing Jesus, right? 7 of you, yes. All right. I'm calling time change on the rest of you. But if you're new to us, you got to be talking to me. You got to be telling me stuff. I'm not. This is not my journey. This is our journey. And so feel free to give a little shout out. Woot woot. Jesus is the man. Whatever you want to say, just to let me know you're in the house. All right. 2 more messages and our Psalms 23 study. So we just got 2 more this Sunday, next Sunday, and then I've got a Palm Sunday message that we'll be doing. And this has been a slow walk. We have almost gone verse by verse through Psalms 23, the Knowing My Shepherd series, and it's been really good. I feel like personally, it's just helped me understand the Psalm so much more, God's relationship with me. And those first, you know, 4 verses, it's all been about the imagery of the sheep to the shepherd, right? Let me just read it to you in case you didn't know. Psalm 23, this is David, those first four verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For he is with me. As a shepherd, his rod and his staff, they are there to comfort me. And so all those verses, all those phrases have to do with a shepherd and a sheep. They're this intimate, personal, caring connection with our good shepherd. And David is using that imagery, and we get dialed in with how much God wants to connect with us and how much he wants to be a part of our heart and our life. And by the way, when I say our good shepherd, I'm talking about Jesus himself, because he claims that title, right? I'm not just talking about God out there, you know, the big guy in the universe wants to love on us. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus is our good shepherd. Jesus is the reason we are here. He claims that title himself in John 10. He's talking to people who knew Psalms 23. And he says this, he says, you know that Psalms 23, you like that? You like that Psalms 23? Yeah, you like that. Well, let me tell you something. I am that good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me. And just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so as we read these images and we see these statements, we can know that this is for us as Christians, as Christ followers. Jesus is our good shepherd. But in verse 5, something happens. And I don't know if you've ever been driving along, you know, in a car, and you know, you're just driving, you're following traffic, and maybe you're riding with your mom or your dad or something like that, and you know, your dad gets the urge. He's like, I'm done following everyone. And what does he do? Shifts gear. He may do a little slow so the wife doesn't notice, but he gets over in the passing lane and he just starts going. And next thing you know, you're doing 75 miles an hour in a 35 zone, just kind of getting around everybody doing their thing, right? Well, that's a little bit what David's done. We've been driving about 35, and it's been sweet, and it's been nice. Yeah, look at the green pastures. Look at the still waters. Oh, he is restoring my soul. I'm ready to do some passing. And so he kicks into 75 as he goes around here, and he gives us these new images starting in verse 5 that don't have anything to do with necessarily shepherd and sheep, but they have something to do with king and the king's favorite subject, and that would be us. An even better picture of God's relationship with you and I. And so that's kind of what he starts laying out here. This is a king who is now engaging with this subject. And this is another image, absolutely 100%, that fits Jesus. Because if there's one thing the Bible teaches us, and it teaches us a lot of things, but if there's one thing that the Bible teaches us, it is this, is that Jesus is king. He absolutely is. If you don't read the Bible, especially the New Testament, and walk away going, that Jesus is king, then I encourage you to go back and read it again, because it is all over this. In Revelations, the last book of the New Testament, it says this in verse 5. Jesus Christ, the faithful one, the ruler of all the kings of the earth. You ever wonder where we get that phrase, king of kings? From this verse right here. He is king of kings. He's king of all the kings on the earth. To him who loves us and who has freed us from our sin by his blood on the cross and has made us a what? A kingdom. The only guy that can make a kingdom is a king. And so King Jesus has made us a kingdom. Priest to God the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. My friend, Jesus is our king. I've heard it said this way. He's indescribable. He's invincible. He's irresistible. He supplies. He sustains. He strengthens. He even sympathizes with us. Nothing can stand against him. Nothing can even stand without him. He is our king. And you need to understand this, that he didn't come just to make religion better. That's not what he's doing here. He didn't come to make religion better. He came to replace those things that we could worship, and oh man, can we worship some stuff? He came to replace those things that we could worship with that one person we should worship, the one worthy of our worship. And that's King Jesus. And so David, he's talking about this king stuff, and it totally relates to us because Jesus is our king and he's worthy of our worship. So in verse 5, he shifts gears in Psalms 23 and he starts talking about this king's relationship to you and I. And here's how verse 5 goes, and many of you know it. We've covered a piece of it already. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. 2 weeks ago, we hit that little phrase that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And we talked about the invitation of the king, where the king has said, hey, you, I want you to come to my house. I want you to show up. I want you to be there. And man, when you show up, I've got to spread, man. It's going to be amazing. You have been to a Super Bowl party? Well, that is nothing. That's like eating off the dollar menu at McDonald's compared to what you're going to get at my house today. And we show up and the king has prepared this feast, and this feast has been prepared in our honor. And as we sit there, we realize that the king has brought in our enemies. Not to crush us, but he's brought in our enemies so that he could break and bind them in our presence. So that he could silence those who accuse us. And the king says, this is all for you. You're my subject that I love and that I adore, and I'm bringing you here for this amazing dinner. And if that was it, if dinner with this king was all we got, woo, I'm good. But it doesn't stop there, does it? David said, there's so much more here, and it is so amazing. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. I don't know about you, but this is like the weirdest phrase in this whole Psalms 23 thing. Like I get the sheep shepherd stuff, valley of the shadow of death, you know, even prepare a table before me. I get all of that right. But this anoint my head with oil thing, it's a little bit strange to us because you don't see this anywhere in our current culture. So what does that mean? What does this anointing mean that's going on here? Well, first, you need to understand this. This oil that David is talking about is not your mama's Crisco. It's not like you walked into the kitchen, your mom's been, you know, doing your job. Oh, come here, baby. Let me just rub some of that on you. That's not how it works. This oil is something so much different. If you've ever been to the Middle East, I've spent a little time there. If you've ever been to the Middle East and smelled their anointing oils, they actually have these oils that they use and these kind of processes. If you've ever smelled any of that, you know that these oils always come with this powerful, pungent fragrance. It's almost that it's that moment, you know, when you go into the mall and your wife says, hey, we got to go to that store. And fellas, we know what that store is, Bath and Body Works. And you know, you're about six, you know, six stores away, and you smell it. And so you start taking those deep breaths, you know, just, you know, oxygenate. Because you know, when you walk in, you're going to have to hold. I will see guys in Bath and Body Works doing this. You know, and what are we doing, fellas? We're holding our breath because we know if we breathe, what are we going to take into? The intoxicating aroma of 60,000 lotion smells. Christmas Eve and Christmas branch and Christmas shoes and Christmas elf and Christmas. I mean, just, I don't even know what a Christmas elf smells like. How do you? Anyway, so you got, that's what these oils are. And so you walk into this whole little situation and you've got this anointing oil that is actually this powerful fragrance. So when you're anointed with this, basically what you're doing is you're being covered and you're being immersed in the very fragrance of the king. That is so powerful, man. Just let all your senses begin to discover this. And this anointing oil, it doesn't wash out. You ever get something on your hands, you're like, oh, that smells weird, and you just wash it off, you know, and in a few minutes it's gone. That's not what anointing oil is. When you get anointed with oil, it's oil. And that stuff will stay on you for weeks and weeks and weeks. And so what happens after you've been in the presence of the king and he's anointed you with this oil and this pungent fragrance, this fragrance of the king just flows on you. You carry that fragrance out of there for weeks and weeks and weeks. People walk by you and go, oh. You've either been having dinner with the king or in Bath and Body Works. I don't know which one, but that's good stuff, you know? And so that's what would happen here with these anointing oils. So when David says this, that's what he's talking about. And by the way, the king, because he is king, would have two things. He would have one of the most expensive oils. He's not going to get that bottom shelf, you know, budget Walmart stuff. He's going to have the expensive oils, and that expensive oil would carry its very own fragrance. Royalty number five, because you want to smell like a king. You know, it would have its very own little scent, because that's what it was special. It was unique to the king. And so when he chose to anoint someone with it, when you were there at the dinner table, it's like, this feast is for you. You know, I'm silencing all your enemies. Hey, have you enjoyed yourself? And yeah, king, it's been amazing. Wow, you've fed me. You've refreshed me. My soul is so good. And he says, that's on it. Just come over here. Just come over here. And you go and sit in the very lap of the king, and he takes this anointing oil and he just spreads it over you, and that fragrance just kind of pours all over your head and your shoulders and gets on your hands and your clothes, and that fragrance goes everywhere. And so when he would do that for you, it would immediately say two things. One, that you had been in the presence of the king. Everyone would know you sat in the presence of the king. And because he had taken the extra step of anointing you with his oil, that everyone would know that you had been fully accepted and welcomed and embraced by the king himself. Think about that. That when David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, yeah, a lot of people have dinner with the king, but when you anoint my head with oil, that is the king coming up and saying, I accept you. And I welcome you into my presence. I want everyone to know that you and I, we're together in this. And when you walk out of here, I want them to see the king on you. So not only were we invited to this dinner, this feast with the king where all of our enemies were silenced, but after we left this feast, this anointing fragrance of the king would go with us. And our friends, they would celebrate that grace in our life. Our friends would say, "Woo, man, the king loves you." And our foes, they would steer clear, because they could tell that the king's protection was on us. And I love that picture. What a powerful picture that we have, that David gives us here with King Jesus in our lives, because we have that same anointing on us. Now, I'm not saying God just shows up and pours this oil out of the sky. That's not how this thing works. But when God's spirit comes to live inside you, when you become a Christ follower, when that happens, God's anointing flows over you. His anointing oil flows over your heart and your life. 1 John 2:27 says this, but the anointing that you receive from him. That's a done deal. That's not a question. You know, when you become a Christ follower, the anointing that you receive from him does what? It abides on you, or abides in you, in your heart, in your life. His favor, God's favor, has been pressed into your life. His presence and his power has been poured all over you. And now that phrase makes sense. My cup runs over. Man, it's been poured all over my heart and my life. And this fragrance, man, it's just overflowing in who I am. That is what David is wanting us to experience. Psalms 23 isn't just some words written about a poem. Psalms 23 is a journey with the Most High God, and how he sees you and how he loves you and how he cares for you, not only as a shepherd to a sheep, but as a king to his favorite beloved subject. And how he pours his presence on us day after day. Now the truth is, this is the truth. Some days we get this, right? Some days we feel God's anointing on our life. We feel his power. We feel his presence. You have those days? Yeah, I have those days too. Those are good days. I usually hope those days happen on Sunday. Those are good days, and I enjoy that. But there's some days, even as a pastor, that I don't feel this anointing. I don't feel this presence in God's life. Why? Because we are human. Every single one of us are human, and we struggle, and life happens, and we can stray from the presence and the power of God. And I'm not talking about losing your salvation here. That's impossible. When God says, you know, no one will pluck you out of my hand, he means no one, and that includes you. You're no one, you're someone, you're anyone. You're not getting out of God's hand. But we can stay away long enough. This is true of oil. We can stay away long enough that oil will dry up and that fragrance will dissipate. spending some time in the Middle East, you can kind of see that. You know, you can tell the people that had that fresh anointing, you know, and you can tell those people that hadn't. Sometimes you'd ride beside them in the airplane. And you're like, ooh, somebody needs some anointing. Because that stuff would dissipate, and it would eventually kind of roll out of their lives. So what do we have to do? We got to keep coming back to the King's table. Where do I find the King's table, Jim? At church. You find it in the worship. I was worshiping. I was feasting at the table of God. We find it in His Word as we're reading it. And whether that's you worshiping and reading His Word and doing it online or here in the sanctuary or outdoors, man, that is us coming back to the King's table to be fed, to be refreshed, to be anointed again, fresh anointing with His power and His presence. That's what's happening right now, by the way. If you're here, God's got the anointing oil and He's ready. He's like, oh yeah, I'm ready to pour my fragrance over your heart. Yeah, are you going to receive it? Do you want to come and just kind of sit in my presence and let my power just wash over you? My grace, my mercy, those are all the things that we're going to talk about in a few weeks that He anoints into our heart and our life, that you feel that anointing. You can walk out of here with the fragrance of the King all over you. Jim, you don't know who I am. And Jim, you don't know what I've done. Jim, you don't know my history and my past. You are absolutely right. I don't. God does and loved you anyway. I mean, that's the truth of the gospel right there. That is the truth of the gospel. God saw you for exactly who you are and loved us anyway, invited us to this feast anyway, anointed us anyway, so that we can have His power and His presence in our life. Now, there's one more piece I want to give you before I land the plane here about anointing, which I think is just as important. There's one more thing to this anointing. It is about declaring God's presence in our life. Anointing is about the King's presence. We carry that fragrance with us. But anointing had another purpose. I don't know if you've ever read this in the Old Testament or seen this in other cultures, because it still goes on today. Anointing was also an establishment of purpose. So it was a declaration of presence. You know, God's presence is on me. I've been in the presence of the King. I can smell that. But it was also an establishment of your purpose. All through the Bible, you see people being anointed to establish something that they were going to do. People were often anointed to be king. Some cultures still do that. You go to some cultures where there's a king or those kind of things, and you'll see anointing as a part of that process. It's a way to say this anointing signifies your purpose. People were anointed to be prophets. People were anointed to be leaders. Jesus Himself even talks about this anointing of purpose in Luke chapter 4. These are Jesus's words, and He's quoting the Old Testament, but He takes this on Himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to do this thing. That's purpose. What has He anointed me to do? To proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover sight of the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So anointing is more than just God's presence in our life. It is also God's purpose in our life. Now, let me just take this to the next level for us this morning. Every Christian here, let me hear from my Christians. All right, every Christian here, and if you didn't say anything, we're just going to baptize you on Easter Sunday, so we're just able to do that. Every Christian here has been anointed by God. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, you've been anointed by God with His presence, and my friend, you've been anointed by God with His purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created, called, anointed in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand," before I even showed up, before I even raised my hand and said, "Jesus, I'm yours," before we did any of that, God prepared these things that we should walk in them. God has things, good things, that He has called you to do, that He has anointed you to do. And guess what? What God calls us to do, what God anoints us to do, my friend, He also equips us to do. And I know some of you have heard this, but this we just got to get this dialed in because it is so important with this whole anointing thing. Hebrews 13:20 says this, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep," there's that imagery again, "by the blood of the eternal covenant that we are in relationship with God forever as Christ followers." Verse 21, "He has equipped you with everything good so that you may do his will." Just let that thought sink in. Just let it sink in that there are no bench warmers. There's no seat fillers. There's no second stringers in the kingdom of God. You're not here as an afterthought. God wasn't like, "Oh, I had no idea they were coming to church today. I didn't think I'd see them until Christmas." You know, that's not how it works for him. He sees you and he knows you as a Christ follower, and he's been calling you so he can anoint you, so that he can equip you to do the things that he wants to do in your life. So there are only called, anointed, and equipped sons and daughters of God who need to get busy doing the things that he called us to do. Why? Because our world needs it. Our communities need it. Our relationships need it. They need us to be salt and light. They need us to be reflections of truth. They need us to love the one true God. They need us to do the things that God has called us to do, that you have actually been equipped to do. Sometimes I don't do something because I'm like, "Oh, I can't. God, I know, God, you've asked me to do that. Oh, I can't. I got no skill. I got no ability. I got no talent. You know, I can't go do that, God." Well, I'm here to tell you, if God calls you to it, you've been anointed for it, and he will equip you to do it. And that's a piece of his journey and his process. I was called to preach when I was 16 years old. I'm 48, I think. I was called to preach when I was 16 years old. And if you know anything about me, then you know I was pretty shy. I was an introverted person, still am kind of shy and introverted. But that calling came with anointing. And that anointing came with equipping, which included a desire that was not on my own. Who wants to stand in front of people and just talk? I mean, I didn't have that desire, but God placed it in me because of his anointing and his equipping. Man, I didn't have the strength to do this. I didn't possess the strength to do those things, but in the calling and the anointing comes an equipping, which includes a desire and a strength to do the work necessary to fulfill the God's purpose. And that same is for each of us. Maybe God is calling you. Maybe he's anointing you to love your spouse in a different way. You're like, "Jim, he has told me that I need to wade into this relationship and I need to love him, I need to love her in a different kind of way." If God has called you, my friend, he will equip you. Is it work? I thought, fellas, I thought I'd hear more from you on that one. But thank you, ladies, because we are work too. Is it work? Yes, it is work, and there's things we got to do, but we are equipped with strength and desire to do it. Maybe God is calling you to minister to a certain group of people. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your coworker. You know, we talk about reading for the kids at battles and doing all these things. Maybe you're like, "Man, God, I think God is calling me to do it." If God is calling you to do it, he will anoint you and equip you to do it. Is it work? Yes. But he gives you the strength and the desire and what you need to push in to do those things. Maybe, here's one that we don't talk about a lot, but I think it's important. You know, we do a lot of marriage stuff, you know, around here, but quite a few of our folks are young adults, or quite a few of our folks are single or divorced. And you're like, man, sometimes I feel like a second class citizen as a single or a divorcee. You know, what is my purpose here? Well, let me say this. If God has called you to that season, whether you willingly wanted to be in it or not, if you are in that season, then know this, then God can anoint you and equip you to be there. And that season of singleness, is it work? Yes. Man, it is work. I've been there for a season in my own life, but he gives you the strength and he gives you the desire and he gives you the purpose that you need to be a minister of the gospel of salt and light, where you are, how you are. And I think that's the beautiful part of this anointing. That's a beautiful part of this calling and this equipping. Maybe God has called you to lead a small group to a mission trip. Is it work? Yes. But he'll give you what you need to accomplish his will. That list can go on and on. We could talk about anything and everything, but know this. God doesn't call the equipped, does he? He equips those he calls, and my friend, he has called each of us. He has anointed each of us with his presence, and that anointing also includes a purpose. If we'll listen. That was the other thing. When the king would anoint someone, he would often speak to them words and encouragement. He'd say things about them. And often in those words, he would tell them their purpose. Hey, go and do this. Go and do, in my name, go and do this. In my name, go do these things. Maybe it's just us taking the time to stop and listen. And man, if God has called me, which he has, if God has anointed me, which he has, then maybe I should listen to the things he's asking me to do. Father, what is it you are asking of me in my marriage, in my singleness, in my school, in my job, in my work? What is it you have anointed me to do that you want me to step into? Maybe this morning you're asking that question for the first time. This is a great space to do it. Take some time this morning and say, God, I hear you. Now I want to listen to you. And now I'm going to be obedient to you. And you let God work through you that way, because we have sat at the table, because we have been covered by the king's fragrance, and now we have been called to go carry his fragrance, his presence into the world that we live in. Amen. Amen. I want to pray for us. Ask God to seal this message to our heart. If you're here and you want to pray with somebody, we got some leaders that are around. I'd love to pray with you up front here. Online, email us. We'd love to pray with you. Asking God to do his work in our heart. Father, such a simple phrase, but so powerful. You anoint us with oil. So powerful that we walk out of here. We have been anointed by your presence today. So let us walk out of here not smelling like us, smelling like you. That your grace and that your mercy just permeates around us, that as we're walking and talking and living and driving, that people are like, man, that's just Jesus all over you. That people sense that about us. And if there's some folks that haven't felt that presence and that anointing in their life, that they walk out of here completely filled, overflowing with those things in your heart. Father, help us listen. What is it you want to say to us about our relationships and how we wade in? What is it you want to say to us about our jobs and about our ministries? What is it you want to say to us about how we care for people during this time in our community? Father, we've been anointed. We've been called. Equip us now to be who you want us to be, your hands and feet, salt and light, wherever we go. And we trust you. We trust you to do your work in our heart. We love you, and we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the King, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.